We are still in the Easter season. Divine Mercy Sunday and the conclusion of the Octave of Easter did not finish our reflection on the Easter mystery. No, the Easter season actually lasts how many days? 50 days. That's right, 50. And it goes all the way until Pentecost. So important is the Easter mystery to us that we need that many days to unpack it. And indeed, not just for us today, but back then, the apostles and the disciples of Jesus needed that long of a time to be able to encounter the risen Lord and to get used to, if you will, the fact that he did rise from the dead. Why is this time needed? This time was needed precisely because the apostles nor the other disciples believed that he was really going to be resurrected. And these aren't just this is not my opinion, this is in Scripture. The Scripture, the Gospels make it clear that the disciples and the apostles did not believe. So when Mary Magdalene and some of the other women went to the tomb on that Easter Sunday, they went for another purpose. They didn't go thinking, oh, he said he was going to rise. Let's go see. Let's go wait. You know, we're going to get front row seats and wait for him to come out of the tomb. That's not what they did. They went because they had to finish anointing his body, and they were actually worried about who's going to roll that big stone away. Well, God took care of that for them, right? And so Jesus, and you know, follow this, this history, if you will, of the resurrection. So Jesus appeared, you know, he rose from the dead. Mary Magdalene and the other women, they saw the stone rolled away. These two angels, these mighty angels, appeared and said, he ain't here, he's not here. And that angel said, he's been raised. Go back and tell the people. Go back and tell the apostles about this. And so they start going back, and then all of a sudden, Mary Magdalene meets Jesus herself and has an encounter with the risen Lord. And then some other of the holy women have an encounter with the risen Lord. So they are like, this is real. They go back and tell the apostles, guess what? He's risen. He wasn't there, and then we met him. He's risen. And they're like, yeah, whatever. And, you know, they kind of were like, you know, and Scripture says they didn't believe him, thinking that they were just over-emotional women, right? That's what it was. They didn't really say it like that, but that's what they kind of said. It's just, you know, it's not putting anything or anybody down. It's just like the guys didn't believe the girls. They didn't. And so they're knuckleheads, right? And so Jesus will say, it's more their issue than the women's issue. So anyway, so that's the apostles still didn't believe after Mary Magdalene and the other women witnessed the resurrection of Jesus by a personal encounter with him. Then the apostles on the road to Emmaus. By the way, here's something interesting that I learned recently. One of those apostles, one of those disciples on the road to Emmaus, do you know what the name was in the Gospel of Luke? His name, one of the names was Cleopas. So he's the husband of Mary of Cleopas, who was at the foot of the cross. But ancient tradition, going all the way back to like 180 AD, has it that Cleopas was the brother of St. Joseph. So that means Cleopas was the brother-in-law of the Blessed Mother. It's amazing. Yeah, I didn't know that. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. Anyway, so Cleopas and probably his son encountered Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And they went back, right? So this is kind of wild. They walked 7 miles to Emmaus, which back then, you know, they didn't have cars or bikes or anything. There was no Uber. So they had to, like, after they encountered Jesus at night, you know, in the evening, in the breaking of the bread, then they walked another 7 miles, probably like 2 hours in the dark, maybe, I don't know. And then they again went to tell the apostles, he's risen. And some still didn't believe. And this is where tonight, in today's gospel, we pick it up. Where Jesus, again, on Easter Sunday, this is still Easter Sunday, Jesus appears to the apostles in the upper room. And he has them encounter his risen, glorified body. Now remember that Jesus, through his resurrection, he wasn't resurrected in the same way that Lazarus or the daughter of Jairus was resurrected. Jesus was resurrected with a glorified humanity, a glorified body. That means he didn't return to an ordinary human life in a way in which his body, he was going to die again. We have to remember that the power of the resurrection is that Jesus went from death to the divine life. He conquered death. That means he could no longer die in his humanity. That's the power of the resurrection. His body now then lived that spiritualized life. His body was infused with divinity. And that's our hope, by the way. But anyway, so he appeared to them in this way to give witness to the fact that he really rose. But it wasn't just enough to give them a personal encounter. And this is kind of where you get a little bit difference between the men and the women here, by the way. Women tend to be, by nature, more devotional, which is a good thing, meaning they are quicker to believe than men, oftentimes. And that kind of goes along with how God has made you women. And that's why, in many ways, Jesus appeared to the women first, because he knew that they would believe it more easily than the men. And so, but for the men, like on the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and then the apostles here in the upper room, he had to do something a little bit different. He had to go through and kind of explain it to them a little bit more, make it more clear for them. So he went through scripture, and he said, you know, he explained, just like he did with the apostles on the road to Emmaus, he had to break it open to them and help them to understand the truth about the Messiah. Because remember, the apostles and the disciples of Jesus were expecting a political Messiah, someone who is going to free them from the yoke of the Roman rule. That's the kind of Messiah that they were hoping for, more of an earthly one. So Jesus had to go through and explain to them bit by bit, and in probably, I'm sure, the finest detail of how Scripture presents the Messiah in a way that is recognizable only in Jesus. That's what's going on here. This is why it says that, you know, Jesus is like, the words that I spoke to you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then it says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You see, because the reason why he did that is because belief in the divinity of Jesus, belief in the truth of Jesus as the eternal Son of God, as the divine Son of God, and as being resurrected from the dead, the divinity of Jesus was rooted in two things, in his miracles and in the fact that he fulfilled everything that the prophets foretold about him. And like, he fulfilled over a hundred prophecies. And so he had to kind of like witness to this again. Those two things, the first one being the fact that he was risen from the dead, which is the miracle of miracles. The greatest work of God was Jesus being raised from the dead. So that's number one. But then he didn't just want to, you know, for some, that one wasn't enough. The other thing is that he had to tell them and show them how he did fulfill everything in the law and the prophets. even though he kind of did it with them while he was walking with them, they weren't able to fully grasp it, and he had to do it again. Let me explain this to you again, guys. This is real. I wasn't just joking. And so this is what he's doing, is he is helping them to experience the truth of his risen person, his risen humanity, his glorified body, and doing it now within the context of Scripture, so they can fully believe with their whole heart, with their whole mind, everything, that they can see this is real, and it's verified in the Word of God. And in this way, Jesus was purifying their hearts, purifying their minds, to dispose them to a deeper way to believe. And this is important. Why is this important for us? It's important for us because this is how God works for us. Meaning this, like the apostles and the disciples, and we saw this on the road to Emmaus, they were really dejected. They were really disillusioned at life after Jesus died. They thought it was over. And as a matter of fact, the disciples on the road to Emmaus were probably going back to their home. Like, this is done. That was a nice ride. We thought it was the real thing, but it wasn't. They were kind of lost in life now after Jesus. Like, what's this about? And the apostles, I'm sure, the same way. What's this, what's this about? It's over. We're going to have to go back and fish now. Then we'll go back to our old jobs. We have to wait again. But, Jesus came, and the reason is because they had a completely more earthly way of looking at things. But Jesus came back, and, faith is about, or supernatural faith, I should say. Faith is about raising the human vision of things to a greater level. I read someone write sometimes says that in faith is about supernatural faith is about the enlargement of the horizons of the human mind. It lifts the mind of man above this world or the world of nature, and sets it free to the unlimited world of divine being, to God's vision of things. You see, how many times in this life do we hear people belittle people of faith? Have you ever been belittled because of your faith? Have you ever been made fun of, or have you ever been hurt, or have you ever heard people belittle Christians or Catholics because of your faith? Oh, it's just this like simpleton way of viewing things. That's the most ridiculous statement. It's about people who are enemies of the faith, or who are not believers, say the dumbest things. It kind of goes along with like, my body, my choice. My body, my choice. The dumbest statement ever, right? It's the most illogical statement ever. It makes no sense if you think about it. Like, that argument is dumb. It's not rational at all. In the same way is the argument that people of faith are dumb and they're simpletons. They just need they just need a crutch to lean on. It's dumb. Why? Because God, who is the creator of all, who does exist, and he's the creator of all, has the vision of everything. And so God, we as human beings, our minds are only so big, and we can only understand things so much. Our capacity to understand things is limited. God's mind is unlimited. So if faith taps us into the mind of God, which it does, and gives us a greater view of things, what's the smarter way to go? Right? The smarter way to go is faith. Faith makes us smarter because faith taps us into the mind of God. And when we take on God's vision of things, then we see things way more clearly, way more clearly. People who worship science is a great thing. God wants us to do science, but God doesn't want us to worship science as an end in itself. And that's what some of these scientists, well, if we can't measure it, it must not be true. Dumb. dumb. It's not smart. I mean, and those are smart people. Trust me, they're smarter than I am. Like, intellectually, they're more gifted than I am, I'm sure. But they draw dumb conclusions if they think that you can only things are only knowable if they can be measured. You know, that's dumb. That's not real. It's not true. And it's not reasonable. You know, there are things that we believe that you cannot see or measure. Love, you can't measure love. There's no instrument to measure love, right? Or hope, faith. So anyway, what the Lord does and what the Lord is doing is in this gospel today is he is giving the apostles a greater vision for who he is, a greater understanding for who he is, and in a more spiritualized vision of reality. That their destiny is not earthly, it's heavenly. And his passion, death, and resurrection makes that possible. And that he now is the atonement for every sin, and that what he has done for us through his passion, death, and resurrection is now can be applied to us and give us rebirth, born again in him through the grace of baptism. And then gives us hope there through the other sacraments, right? Communicating to us, nurturing that supernatural life in us, or restoring it if we should lose it by mortal sin, so that we can live for a greater purpose and a greater vision than we ever thought, and than the apostles ever thought. And so this is why the church gives us 50 days to contemplate this mystery. You know, we have Lent, and sometimes we think when we're done with Lent, oh, dude, it's over. Now I can kind of relax and enjoy life again. Not really. We have to allow faith to purify our mind, to continue to purify our hearts, so that we can continue to strive for that goal, which is our own resurrection in the next life. So may Jesus, the risen Lord, may we, by his grace, help us to come to know him more perfectly in his resurrected glory, that we may surrender more perfectly to him and allow the truth of his resurrected life and the merits of grace that he has for us purify us, open our hearts, and allow ourselves to encounter him and be transformed by his presence.